The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's me. That's not even the song.
Terrible.
You remind me, I will give away the George Lopez tickets. This segment, even. Next month is the Maple Bacon Coffee Porter Festival at Funky Buddha Brewery. I want to keep reminding people, sprinkle it in your consciousness so you know that that's coming up next month. That's a big, big event always at Funky Buddha, our friends. And today, while we're having a lot of fun talking about cereal and pickles and cucumbers and all that stuff, there happens to be a lot going on. Carson Beck coming to the U.
Yeah.
Danny Crossman and Wes Welker getting fired by the Dolphins. You've got a national broadcast for the Panthers tomorrow afternoon. You got the Heat all of a sudden getting things right, but they're going to have to make a decision soon with Jimmy Butler. Did you see the video of him today at Big Face Coffee?
Yes, I did.
He was giving some love and positive reinforcement to one of his baristas. And he said, hey, that's the way a boss should talk to an employee. Positive, not negative. He's obviously throwing shade at Pat Riley there.
There was coded video, and it's ridiculous. These little millennials, they think you have to be pleasant to everybody. Do your damn job. You get paid a lot.
Used to be part of the expectation of going to work was you're going to get yelled at. I'm not even kidding. I'm not even kidding. Like, that was part of the expectation. And I'm very clear about this. When Gino was on yesterday, we were talking about grilling. And, you know, I'm not a manly man. But I'm not a delicate flower. Every job I ever had, I got yelled at by my bosses. It was just part of the transaction.
Huck, it's part of sports now, where like these guys are taken back when their boss talks to them nasty. He's the boss. Like I don't know. Is it changed? Has it changed? Are we
yeah,
old
the world
school?
Has changed.
The world's
we
changed.
Are
like
old school. Yes, we are old school. Yeah,
no, you talk. You tell them what's going on. There's no tact or couth from a boss to an employee. But nowadays, these players be like, the hell with you. I'm making $50 million. You better talk to me different.
Yep. I don't know what the answer is, but yes, it is that way. There's certain guys who are old school. I think J.J. Redick is an old school younger guy who probably will never be able to be a guy who talks to his own athletes with, you know, deference. Like I envision Tom Thibodeau, same way. like just, you know, I'm the boss. This is the way that it works. And if you don't like it, hit the bricks. But it's one of the issues that, you know, we're probably seeing with Mike McDaniel is that, well, wait a second. If you're not that guy, do you end up getting walked on? Because Pat Riley's not that guy. And now, you know, they've got to make a decision with Jimmy Butler pretty soon, because if there is no trade, they're going to have to activate him after those seven games. And then it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
And to this conversation, people always want to bring up, like, it's my way or the highway type. Like, I talk to you like a child. You can be stern and not talk to people like a child. It's a mid ground where, no, I don't need to know how long. How long your wife's been pregnant and when the baby's due. But also, I don't need to cuss at you and call you, you know, names and all that. I've made some...
Correct.
My other one thing about... I told a story about Mike Nolan, who's a very successful, you know, coach, head coach, whatever it is, where I started cussing on the field. He pulled me to the side and he was like, I don't like that approach to... It was Nolan. Remember Nolan Carroll? The cornerback? Nolan Carroll, we were doing like an in and out, and he kept messing up, and I snapped. And I was like, damn, MF, like, he gonna come inside. He gonna go outside. You pick up him. I'm gonna pick up him. And I'm cussing, and Mike pulled me to the side. He was like, listen, I don't like teaching that way. That's not how I teach. I respect your passion, but I don't like to have that atmosphere on my field. And but Mike wasn't a pushover. He just didn't like people cussing other people out. And I said, my bad, coach. I respect, you know, I respect him enough to be like, my bad, coach. And I didn't just flat out cuss anybody else out. You don't have to talk to people like children, but you also don't have to ask them, oh, what shoe size you're wearing? Because I'm going to get you some off-whites. No, there's a mid-ground that I think good coaches.
Right.
It's funny.
You can be respectful, but still demand performance.
Be respectful and respected at the same time. I think that is what good coaches do. You have all your respect, and you're respectful towards your employees. But you don't have to be this little, oh, how you doing today, man? Oh, man, you got a hangnail, huh? You need a day off? No, man, tighten up. Get your ass on the field.
I thought the whole reason Jimmy Butler loved the Miami Heat was that he could be himself. He could be the edgy guy. He could be the guy that, in other situations, people would frown on his disposition. Now all of a sudden he wants compliments? Like, I know he's just trolling. We probably shouldn't make too much of a video.
Right, he's trolling, but I get you. It's like, hey, your whole thing is being prickly, and like, doesn't he have a thing with someone where they give each
Max
other the
Strus.
Finger?
Yeah, like,
yeah, with Max Strus, yeah. They get like,
and he
like,
refuses. So, he refuses to say good things about Duncan Robinson. Again, it's all tongue in cheek. Like,
right,
he rides with his guys
because he's very supportive of them.
Absolutely,
but he's not a guy who gives out, you know, flowery compliments. Now he would say to you, Yeah. I just don't need someone telling me to shut up my mouth and go to work.
It's a weird situation, though, because Pat Riley has given Jimmy Butler more leeway off the court.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about missing games. Has given Jimmy Butler more leeway off the court than he gave LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. Because he's trying... to, I guess, embrace or just respect the new age of athlete. And that's why this entire situation is weird to me, how Jimmy Butler's handling it.
I read Ira Winderman's article about Jimmy Butler and his relationship with the Heat right after the whole thing transpired. And Ira was like, listen, they have essentially allowed Jimmy to work on his own clock. When he feels like showing up, he shows up. If he feels like showing up at 3 a.m., he shows up at 3 a.m. They have allowed Jimmy more leeway, like Solana, and this is according to Ira Winderman, like Solana said, they have allowed him more leeway than LeBron. Ultimately, though, it came down to money. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Like, I can't see anything else. I don't think if there wasn't this notion of him being able, and by the way, I get it. But if there wasn't this notion of him being able to get $120 million over the next couple of years rather than $50 million, I don't think you see any of this. I think he's thrilled with the organization. I don't think Pat Riley's postseason press conference ever in any situation would have played well with Jimmy Butler. But I don't think it would have come to this either if there weren't other, you know, opportunities out there. And listen, he's, you know, he's now a business owner with Big Face Coffee. And when you really do start owning a business, and you think about scaling and you think about, you know, going national or whatever, to have 50 extra million dollars to work with, or 70 extra million dollars to work with, if you really have a design, if you're in your 30s and you have a design on what you think is maybe a career or a business that you can expand, you know, into your later years into something that's huge, that money makes a heck of a lot of difference. If you're going to sit in your backyard and do nothing, you know, you make $48 million, you're fine. But I think he's got designs on something bigger. And that's, but I think this all stems from money, period. End of story, money.
I think Miami changed him too.
Possible.
I think being down here, what was it, Chicago, Minnesota,
Philly.
Philly, like those aren't, you come to Miami, he started dating Ilana Grandy, whatever her name is. Like, I think it changed. I think Miami changed him to that. And he's on social media. I don't know if he tweets a lot of Instamax or Tic Tacs, but you could tell he cares what people. You could tell he cares what people think, no matter what it is. And he doesn't.
He's excellent.
He doesn't want to be punked. I think Miami changed him too. I think this market changed him as well.
He probably realized, I've built up myself enough in terms of respect and cachet in the NBA without winning an NBA title. There's nothing else Jimmy Butler can accomplish outside of winning an NBA title. Even if he took this Heat team back to the finals and they fell short again, nobody would think more of him. Nobody would think less of him. Like, the only thing left for him is to win an NBA title, and he has to be frustrated, which is what we're learning from these reports, that the Heat have not been able to get him another star player to go win the title. I think all of us can respect that, you know?
Yeah, except that, you know, the Heat would tell you, well, wait a second, we went and got Kyle Lowry because we spent a ton of money to get Kyle Lowry because of you. So I think they had, and we thought we were going to get Dame Lillard. I imagine Jimmy thought that was a done deal too.
It's why I don't like, it's why I don't like the people who are just chalking this up to Riley misses.
Right, yeah.
The Heat were genuinely in play for a lot of these guys, and it didn't work out, but it wasn't for a lack of trying. Pat Riley wasn't sitting at home saying,
Jimmy Butler, I mean, there is an ego portion of it where is there a single other NBA superstar who had to deal with being called out publicly like that by his front office? I would argue no.
And you have to know that coming in to dealing with Pat. Because like you say, they did it the way they did it to LeBron. Why would Jimmy ever think he's going to be treated differently than LeBron and Wade?
Right.
These are
seems
different.
Like a miscalculation on both their parts. Miscalculation on Pat's part, but that's a miscalculation on Jimmy's part.
But Pat's going to tell you exactly how he feels at all time, and you can kiss his butt if whatever happens. But no, I'm going to bow down to Jimmy Butler when I told LeBron and Wade how I feel about him.
These are different situations, though. I know people will like to group them together, but these really are different situations. LeBron James, I think everybody in the building, after the loss in the NBA Finals, before Pat Riley stepped up to the podium for his season-ending press conference, everybody knew LeBron James was out. They did. And I think Pat Riley knew, and it was almost like his last-ditched effort to go out there and maybe try to inspire him a little bit, but they knew. They knew LeBron was out. Dwayne Wade, I think they had built up enough cachet, but they hadn't spoken for a full year, we found out. Like, there was a bridge that had burned already. These are different situations, which is why I don't like using one to compare the other. Bottom line, Pat Riley's upset that Jimmy Butler is not playing enough games, and they don't want to give a 35-year-old $100 million over 2 years. It's different than Dwayne Wade and LeBron James.
Solana, to that point, Jimmy is at the fault for that, to thinking that he's on that level.
Yeah.
And it's to my point, you're Jimmy, you're not LeBron or Dwayne Wade. You're a very, very good player. I don't think you're a Hall of Famer, and we've argued this for years, but you're very, very good. But you've seen how they treated Hall of Famers. Both those guys are Hall of Famers. You're not that. Why would you expect to be treated any differently? So to your point, is it different situations? Yes. Jimmy should think differently than Pat thinking differently, because Pat deals with Hall of Famers in this way. And Jimmy, let's be honest, you're not Wade or LeBron or Bosh. Jimmy's not Bosh.
Let's do a quick look at headlines, because I still do have stuff to get through this hour, and I want to give away those George Lopez tickets too. So headlines real quick, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. No Heat, no Panthers tonight, right?
Nope. Heat tomorrow. They're in Portland. And then the Panthers tomorrow, 1 p.m., they host the Boston Bruins at the Amerant Bank Arena.
All right.
Heat game tomorrow is at 10 p.m., by the way, gentlemen. Hey, remember those two Yankee fans who grabbed Mookie Betts' glove during the World Series?
Yeah.
Remember, it was like a big story? They have been banned by Major League Baseball from all Major League Baseball stadiums indefinitely.
That's fair. That's mess wrong. With the bull, you get the horns.
Huh?
You mess with the bull, you get the horns.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the right phrase.
Sure.
In this situation, they mess with the bull.
That's right. F around and find out.
I like that one better.
Yeah, it's, well, it's the same thing.
former Georgia quarterback, Carson Beck.
Former Georgia.
Former Georgia.
You let one slide during my Jimmy Butler rant as well. I appreciate that. Yeah.
I must have not heard it.
Former Georgia quarterback Carson Beck has hit the transfer portal. We found that out yesterday. Then we found out from Pete Dammel that Miami was a favorite. And less than 24 hours later, he has officially committed to the University of Miami. According to Fox, $4 million.
You say university?
It's Friday, man.
He's been up late. He's been doing all those Heat West Coast games.
I know. He's having a tough one. Me too. I've been watching all these games. I've been staying up for all these Heat and Panthers games. Why I have a New Orleans Pelicans cereal bowl on the way. Because I overstay my welcome on the Ambien. Like, I take the Ambien, and then I stay up and I watch the game. And then all of a sudden, I've missed the window of opportunity to fall asleep. And now I'm in Ambien mode.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's almost like a battle.
Like the guy that takes eight. But I don't like, why do you even, doing drugs, Ambien, I'm not saying doing crack, but like, I hate the person that does something and tries to fight the feeling. You're drinking to feel good. Like the guy that takes 12 shots and he's like, I'm fine. I don't feel anything.
Yeah.
So stop drinking. And you're wasting time. You're wasting money. Tighten up.
I feel great on Ambien.
But go to sleep. It's for sleep.
Well, if I'm watching something and my attention is diverted, I don't fall asleep, and if I wasn't in a good mood, I wouldn't be buying cereal bowls. You do that when you're happy.
But then
you don't buy cereal bowls out of anger.
But then don't take it till it's bedtime.
I'll take it whenever I want. 55 years old.
That's the truth.
but it's become like a competition, right? Mentally for you, I believe.
Absolutely. I love the Ambien competition. Yeah. Hung out last night. Oh, you're trying to put me to sleep. It ain't working. But I do that, you know, if I go for my colonoscopy. I'll fight the anesthesia. I tell the anesthesiologist, like, yeah, this ain't working on me. Bring your A game, because it's not going to work on me.
Do you really try to count backwards from 100 and get to 1?
I don't even try to count backwards. I just get lippy. I go, yeah. Oh, you don't have anything better than count backwards? Huh? Punk?
while you laying sideways with your drawers off.
Is an interesting time to flex.
You sideways with your booty out, talking about, huh? Big man. Man, your booty's out, man. Go to sleep.
Tonight, college football playoff, the second semifinal, Texas versus Ohio State. It's the Cotton Bowl. Tonight, kickoff will be at 7:30. The winner plays Notre Dame on Monday, January 20th. That is 10 days from today.
Did anybody bet last night?
Nope.
I made some money.
You did?
Craziest thing in the world. I bet Penn State winning the first half and Notre Dame winning the game.
That's right.
Plus 800, and I thought I was going to lose. I hit that bet.
That was such a – man, you said that to me. I don't know if it was off the air or on the air, and I wanted to put that in. Damn it.
Yeah. And now I'm a genius, so I have 714 bets on tonight's game, which I'm going to probably lose all of them.
That was a great play, though. That was a great play. Penn State to win the first half, Notre Dame to win the game. That's a great parlay.
Plus 800. And I really do believe Ohio State's going to drag Texas. I don't know why. I just believe Ohio State's going to drag.
What is it, six still?
Ohio State hit
six when I originally saw it.
I got it at five and a half. Yeah, I got 5.5 and the over. Man, I got so many bets on.
Yeah, this six right game. Now.
It's crazy. I went to six. I might have bet it up with my 82 bucks.
You guys see that? The craziest stat yesterday. Penn State wide receivers had zero receptions in the game.
I double checked it because I'm like, that can't be right. Can't be right.
To be fair, like Tommy Teague, he went to Penn State. I was watching the game with him yesterday. I mean, he was distraught when Notre Dame hit that field goal and when the QB threw that interception. But he told me like that's not that bizarre of a stat as it sounds because they run the ball heavy and they just throw to their tight ends. Like they have two wide receivers who have caught passes all year and they haven't had crazy production this year at all. So it's not as crazy as it sounds, but it's still wild, man. Semifinal game, your quarterback completed 12 passes, none to wide receivers.
That game was actually boring, but that white boy, what's his name, Tyler Warren, number 44?
Yeah.
He's going to go in the top of the first round. He can play ball, boy.
Crazy, man. Crazy.
Yeah. I'm watching a video from the New York Post on Twitter of a New York City rat dragging a full Reese's king-size peanut butter cup.
Wow.
Under the tracks. It is fascinating. Look at this
to thing. The crib. He taking it home to his old lady.
Wait till it resets and you see it again.
That's wild.
Oh. Wow.
He's a winner.
That's a king rat right there.
He's a winner.
Because there was the pizza rat, right? Remember the New York City pizza rat? He was carrying
that
whole slice.
Any animal, to me, is going to go, oh, pizza, because there's no wrapper or whatever. They go, oh, this is a food item. This rat is going to figure out how to open the wrapper.
There's a movie when people turn to rats.
Planet of the Apes.
I don't think those were apes. It was a little white boy that was British, and he was with witches that turned the rats at night or something. It's not Ratatouille.
Anybody can cook, of course. Good call by you, Hawk.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, on this day, 26 years ago, The Sopranos debuted.
Oh, Maron.
I was watching episodes yesterday.
So good.
They play them on HBO. It doesn't matter what season, what episode, I can sit there and watch it.
Mm-hmm. Paulie Walnuts, just iconic. Iconic character.
Iconic. Also, on this day, I didn't know this till I saw the show sheet when we started. On this day in 2022, the Dolphins fired Brian Flores.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
That was a shocking day.
Yeah. He's about to get another head coaching job.
Brian Fitzpatrick ripped him on a podcast the other night.
Saw that with Andrew Whitworth.
Whitworth, yeah.
Yeah. He was saying, I hope he learned from being with Kevin O'Connell and all, because he was like, yeah, this dude, he alienated everybody in the building from him.
It was very honest.
Yeah. I think y'all sent me that video.
Yeah. I had it the day that we sent it. I could get it if you guys are interested, but he basically said Flo became a dictator in Miami, which struggled to get a reference from another coach that coached under him here with the Dolphins. And the quote was, became unrecognizable by the end of his tenure. Which is crazy considering, like, he was upset. Remember, Ryan Fitzpatrick had this team at 3-3. Remember they beat, I don't remember who it was, but they had the bye week to his rookie season. And Fitzy was like despondent when they gave Tua the starting job after that bye week at 3-3, because he felt like it was his team. But Brian Flores went back to Ryan Fitzpatrick, 15 times? Like, I'm surprised he felt that way, considering they literally went back to him every time Tua missed a single pass. Like, struggled for a second.
Oh, my God. Fitzy was collecting a check. He didn't want to be out there. He couldn't believe that he kept tapping him to come back in the game. It's like, hey, jackass.
No, I'm good.
I'm not here
I'm
to
good,
play.
Coach. I'm good.
I drafted a quarterback with the fifth overall pick. What am I doing back here? I'm heaving balls up like a catapult against the Raiders. All of a sudden, I'm a Miami hero.
It's the management of a organization versus play calling. Some people can do them both. Some people can't. John Harbaugh with the Ravens, he doesn't call a damn play, but he's one of the best coaches. Mike Tomlin doesn't call a damn play. He's one of the best coaches, but he manages the team. He manages personalities. That's what I say with Mike McDaniel. That's what we got to start seeing out of him. Offensive coordinators call offense. Defensive coordinators call defense. Head coaches manage organizations.
All right, guys. And Wild Card Weekend starts mañana. Chargers, Texans at 4:30. Steelers, Ravens at 8 p.m. Broncos, Bills, Sunday 1 p.m. Packers at Eagles, 4:30 p.m. Commanders, Buccaneers, 8 p.m. Vikings, Rams will be Monday night at 8. That game, of course, will be played in Arizona. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. 70 degrees in Miami. It is getting chilly. The low tonight is going to be in the low 60s, mid-50s in northern South Florida. That is your weather.
All right, final pair of tickets for George Lopez. He's coming to Hard Rock Live next month. You can purchase tickets at casino.hardrock.com/Hollywood, or you can be caller number...
Lem.
Caller Lem.
I hit for $200 on 11 on the scratch off this morning.
Oh, you did? Look at you. All right. Caller 11, 305-567-0560. 305-567-0560. Caller Lem gets the George Lopez ticket. Do not go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. We still got a lot to get.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Do you marinate your meat?
Of course not.
Hawk and Crowder.
Would you like to hear what Mike McDaniel has said about his firing of Danny Crossman and Wes Welker?
Yes, I would love
it. McDaniel's statement. I am grateful for Danny's contributions and dedication to the Dolphins over the course of many seasons, as well as the numerous ways he helped me as a head coach. I also want to thank Wes for his investment here. This was not a decision I came to lightly, but as I have evaluated the season and areas where we must improve, I believe that change is needed and am motivated to do what is best for the team as we move forward. The wide receiver position did seem to regress, no? I don't know if that's because of the quarterback situation. Like, yeah, you don't know how much, you know, controls the other, but I will tell you that Tyreek had a down year. Jalen had a down year. Julian Hill was awful. I would say Malik Washington was probably a bright spot.
But Hulk, the Crossman thing, that's like fine. Like they had a bunch of penalties. They negatively affected the game with special teams. That's not a surprise. Wes Welker made Tyreek Hill not a top three receiver. He made Jalen Waddle have a down year. Like I don't think that's true.
What if the attitude of being, it was kind of what you said about Jerod Mayo. What if the attitude of not being, you know, a fire and brimstone coach trickles down to your subordinates, for lack of a better term? And Wes Welker, like you said about Jerod Mayo, Wes Welker was playing a few seasons ago. Like these guys, like he's, you know, and maybe he allowed the receivers room to kind of run roughshod over him. And I don't know. I'm just saying maybe part of it.
Yeah.
Maybe Mike McDaniel's looking at that and saying, hey, I can't be, you know, accountable for what's going on in all situations. I need my, you know, group coaches to be accountable for their guys. And the receivers room was out of control. I'm just spitballing here.
Yeah, and Wes was a young coach. I think he coached like 2 or 3 years. He was in San Fran, I believe, before that. But like, I think it can't be production based. If to your point, I wasn't in the building. I didn't know what the receiver room was like. I didn't know if he was, you know, like you're saying, if he had no control of them, they're just going in and out of meetings. They're going to the bathroom for 45 minutes, like I used to. Like that's something else, but. To say that the regression or the, I don't want to say regression, the lack of production out of Tyreek and Waddle and was on Wes Welker, no, go run the damn routes that are on the paper. Mike McDaniel, you called this. So I think with Wes, it has to be more than a lack of yardage and receptions. It had to be more than that.
I would say, though, just beyond Tyreek and Waddle, I mean, if you want to say Malik Washington was a net positive at the end of the season, I would argue it had more to do with his big returns than it did his overall production as a receiver. Like, he was fine.
Well, you got to keep Danny Cross.
No, absolutely not. I'm glad they got rid of him. But Crowder, I mean, just look at the entire receiving unit. Again, top to bottom. Waddle, I think it has to do with injuries. Tyreek Hill, he was injured, and Tua wasn't available. And he dropped passes, but River Craycraft this year didn't do anything because he was injured.
Down season.
Braxton Berrios, before he got injured, you would never trust him to go catch passes. He was invisible out there. D. Eskridge, before he got hurt, nothing. Anthony Dubose took one off the helmet, leading to an interception. Robbie Chosen didn't know what routes to run. I mean, Erik Azukama, another bad year. Like, at a certain point, you kind of have to just say, hey, whatever it is we're doing isn't working. We have to make a change.
But that's on them. Dubose and what's the Craycraft and the name? What's the E name? Ezukama. Bro, know what the hell you're supposed to do and run your route. It's a joke about running back coaches. Like the running back coach, how do you teach somebody to be Derrick Henry? How do you teach somebody to be Fred Taylor? How do you teach somebody, Saquon Barkley jumped over a man booty first? That's not coaching. That's going to play football. So was the wide receiver
right? But he's
not
there's a difference though. He's
games?
A Hall of Famer. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. The Wes Welker needs to coach up D. Eskridge and Erik Azukama and get those got River Craycraft and get those guys producing better. I mean there is something there that the receiving core was markedly worse in year three than from years one and two.
But what is he going to do?
Well, then why have a receiver coach?
That's what I'm saying. So, like, I understand that was the points you just made was an amazing point. But it's like this guy doesn't know what route to run on a play. That's your fault. This bastard has the playbook too. Like, coaches never. I never needed to know. I need to take number three up the field and pass him number two. I need to know the leverage. I need you to like help me with like tendencies. Don't help me with my responsibility. My responsibility is my responsibility, and I need to know that. So, but like I said, to your point with Fred Taylor, I'm talking about Hall of Fame guys where a D. Eskridge or a Ezukama probably needs a coach where Tyreek Hill doesn't need a coach. Go run real fast and catch this damn ball. Yeah.
Nah, double down, bro. Sounds like Crowder was saying all coordinator positions are bogus.
Well,
no, coordinators again, are needed.
Position coaches.
Yeah. Coordinators are needed. Position coaches are stealing money. A lot of them are stealing money.
I do understand what Crowder's saying. Jalen Waddle played under Nick Saban. You know what I mean? Like Jalen Waddle, like what is a receiver's coach going to teach him at this point? But I am thinking of guys who come from smaller schools who are 6-round picks who, you know, make the squad. And but maybe again, maybe the tenor of the entire room is set by that position coach. And maybe it was off.
And even to the point of like inside linebackers. They cut David Long. They brought in Anthony Walker. He gets injured. They bring in some other slappy. I don't even remember his name. Like, is this guy not preparing David Long to play football? Because he has his job still. Or did David Long go rogue and just start cussing people out? I've heard stories. I don't know how true they are. But, like, it's – I'm not saying position coaches are useless, but it's – you. I think they're scapegoats a lot of the time. I'll say that.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think they win – more games or less games if there was a different receivers coach this year.
If I'm coaching inside linebackers, is David Long cut still? Yes. Hey, B-gap, carry number 3. Pass him off to 2 if he goes out. That's all I could tell him. Oh, you want to cuss people out? Well, go on home, big man.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Everybody's younger than Hawk.
Hawk and Crowder.